Hi, I'm Dave Bushon, KZ10, and this is 99hobbies.com. I'm here today with Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Welcome back. You just finished a trip to Montenegro.
Yes. My wife and I spent about 10 days in the newly independent Republic of Montenegro.
Mm-hmm. And you had a chance to operate there with this brand new DXCC entity, right?
Yes, indeed. How this happened was that last year, Linda and I were on vacation in the Balkans and spent 4 days visiting our friend Ranko Boca, YT6A, in Montenegro. He arranged at the time for us to obtain licenses and to operate his station one evening. We had a great time running big pileups, even though it wasn't a rare country at the time. It was just part of what was then called Serbia and Montenegro. On May 21st, the people of Montenegro voted in a referendum by a little over 55% to separate from Serbia and to become independent. And okay. The Republic of Montenegro was admitted to the United Nations on June 28th. And so right at that point, Montenegro became a separate DXCC entity and for a very short time was the rarest country in the world for ham radio. The operation we were a part of was called the Montenegro International DX Festival. This involved more than 30 operators from about 20 countries who came to operate under the call sign 4Oscar3Tango, 403T, from three different locations along the Adriatic coast, and we had a great time.
That sounds like a good time. Now, how many operators did you have there, I mean, the whole operation during that festival?
Over a three-week period, something over 30 operators rotated in and out. Most stayed for about a week. In all, the operators made something over 120,000 contacts on Morse code, single sideband voice, and radio teletype.
Boy, that's amazing. In just that short period. And the stations were on the air 24 hours a day?
Yes. Uh-huh. There were at any given time anywhere from 4 to 6 stations on the air on different frequency bands, making contacts all over the world.
That's amazing. And when you weren't operating, you had some time to socialize with some of the other operators there, right?
Yes, indeed. We made a number of new friends from Poland, Germany, a number of other countries. I had a chance to renew friendships with people I've known for a number of years in the Balkans, from Macedonia, Bosnia, and Croatia, and other countries in the area. When we weren't operating, we were mostly sitting around trading stories, socializing, just having a good time.
That sounds like a blast. It's like the trip of a lifetime. I was looking at your bio on the website, and it looks like you've been a ham for a long time. Could you tell me about how you started and how you ended up here?
Well, I discovered the magic of radio through a crystal set that I received for Christmas. Mm. One night after I put it together and I was desperately trying to pick up the nearest AM broadcast station, and instead came booming through the headphones the Voice of America transmitter in Bethany, Ohio. Well,
wow.
for a 10-year-old kid in Ledyard, Connecticut, this was a bit of magic, and it stayed unexplained for a couple of years. Eventually, I had an opportunity to take a licensing course in amateur radio. I obtained my license at age 13, and suddenly it all began to make sense. But even today, 44 years later, it's still magic to me that you can communicate anywhere in the world without any wires in between, using a radio that runs less power than it takes to run a laptop computer.
I just had a conversation with somebody who just got her license, and she said almost exactly the same thing, that it's some kind of magic that you can talk without wires. And she was a big CW fan, too.
Yes, so, I am as well. It's always been my favorite operating mode.
Now, you got your license. What happened after that?
Well, I started working after school while I was in high school for a local ham radio operator who operated a radio TV repair shop from a wheelchair. He had cerebral palsy. His name was Bud Ward, W1GEA, down in Norwich, Connecticut. And all through high school, I would go in afternoons and fix 5-tube radios and TV sets, whatever people needed repairing, under Bud's direction. He was my mentor in all things electronic. He also was the local emergency coordinator in our emergency communications group, and so I learned the public service side of amateur radio.
Oh, that's cool.
From Bud as well. When it came time to go to college, I went to Michigan State University in East Lansing, largely because the radio club station there had a Collins S line.
You mentioned that before. I thought that's a funny way to pick a college, but it worked out.
Well, I would encourage any university that wants to attract students to be sure they have a nice ham radio club station.
That's a great idea.
And Michigan State has a very good club station even today. Mm-hmm. W8SH is the call sign. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I made a lot of friends out in Michigan, came back to Connecticut. After about a year, a full-time position on the ARRL staff opened up, and at the time I was working for a local insurance company, so I had this terrible decision. Do I stay working in insurance, or do I go to work doing something that I really, really care about? So I came here in 1972 on the full-time staff. Picked up an MBA going nights a few years later, and in 1982, when I was 32 years old, the ARRL Board of Directors named me general manager. So I've been here a very long time.
Yeah, I see there's a pretty lengthy description of things you've done, in particular for the league. I know that you're very busy on our behalf, and speaking for all the amateurs out there, I appreciate it quite a bit.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's a great privilege for me to be able to do what I do, and it's much more than a job, just as amateur radio is much more than a hobby to those of us who are immersed in it.
Yes, that is true. Dave Sumner, K1ZZ, thanks for being on 99 Hobbies.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you.